when I quit my job, oh, like my manager was like, you've been living a double life, Hugo. What are you talking about? This is so weird.
There's no better opportunity than working for yourself. That's a fact.
And I fly to Austin for two and a half weeks. Yeah, yeah.
Go on, what are you doing in Austin?
I'm doing the BPN Ultra Survive the Night.
Mate, that's wicked. Right, welcome, Hugo. Welcome back.
It's good to be back.
How are you doing,
you
man?
Know what we were going to do?
Oh, this would have been funny, actually. Yeah. Should we do it? Should we skit it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so...
I need to find the YouTube comment, though. This is so... It's so funny.
What YouTube comment?
It's a YouTube comment.
What?
The guy...
Oh, my God, on my vlog.
Yeah.
That... Oh, no, there's been some good ones. To be fair, like, most of the things that have popped up about you on my YouTube comments have been great.
But it's just this one. Oh, my God, it gets me every time. Having heard Proddy go on about Hugo for so long, I was buzzing for this. Didn't hit. Out of touch posh guy who is kind of good at running now and thinks he's it.
Kind of. I reckon the kind of good
that
at
got me.
That
yeah, got yeah, yeah. Kind of good. Thank you, sir. I'm 48th in the country for half marathon this year. So please, kindly, above average.
Oh, okay. Look, welcome. Welcome, Hugo. I'm going to just intro this as to why you're back on. Because people probably think, look, you've been on not so long ago, maybe a couple months ago.
Yeah.
But you know what I want to do? And I want to hear people's thoughts on these because I want to just have podcasts where it's not necessarily an interview. Like, I'm not interviewing you again. We've done that. We've done that the first time.
You don't need to learn any more about me.
No, I don't want to be honest. But like, just have these podcasts where we can just have a catch up, mate.
Yeah,
like, there's
yeah.
lots going on.
Yeah.
Loads of stuff going on. I've literally just come back from Copenhagen doing the half.
Gross.
You've got Berlin this weekend.
Yeah.
We'll have just a good chinwag. So, but yeah, welcome, man. How you been? Keeping well?
You know, life is good. This is my last week of work. Ever.
Yeah. Big congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
No one, this is like a world exclusive.
Well, no, you put it in the back of one of your reels, like right at the end.
Yeah.
But I think everyone was probably joking. I thought you were joking.
And also, like, anyone who's watched 2 minutes, 50 seconds of that video of me making possibly the worst rice pudding, I have to admit, like, I sent that. I don't know. I'd love to get your opinions on ads. I'm new to the ad game, okay?
Yeah, yeah, cool. Let's chat away about it, yeah.
I'm new to the whole, like, selling yourself to brands.
No, don't call it that.
Sorry, yeah.
Because let's say someone who works in finance, okay? Mm. They're just doing their job, man.
Exactly.
You've got to put food on the table.
I've really got to put food on the table. But I did this rice pudding ad for Tilda because they've just released rice pudding. Great little plug. They'll love this.
Okay, they're not paying me, mate, so...
And I sent it to them. I was like, oh, it's a bit long, this one, but you know, get your views. And they responded, oh, we love it. I was like, great, I'll post it.
Mate, can I just interrupt you there? I've never once heard Tilda saying they don't like something you've done.
Yeah, it's remarkable. I've sent them some real dross. No, sorry, great content. They might be watching this. And I sometimes look at it. I look at a lot of my content and go, how is anyone watching this? But I guess people, 2 minutes 50 is long to watch
a
reel.
Yeah.
That is long.
Well, have you looked at the skip rate of it?
You know, I did look at the retention curves.
Yeah.
And like when people like. And 11% of people liked right at the end of that
really?
Video, 250.
I was one of those 11%.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, no, that was
I know you're such an early liker.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. I'm very dialed into Hugo Fry's algorithm.
No, you're dialed into just being a good, like, friend.
I'm a supportive, creative friend. Yeah.
And because I can see every single person I follow, you probably also follow, and I always see your name. I'm like, that man has gone down it. Each night, he's just like, bang, bang, bang.
Like, sometimes you upload 5 times a day. No, because I wanted to go on to that later on, but you mentioned like at the start there, someone said you're out of touch.
Oh yeah.
I actually think you're the most in touch posh bloke I've ever met.
Thank you. That's
no, genuinely, I think you are.
Yeah.
Because I would say I'm well spoken. I wouldn't say I'm posh, but I'm definitely well spoken and like, I guess, grown up in a good area.
My postcode was good when I was growing up. I'm a W11 child.
No, but do you know what I'm saying? And I think people get, you don't even play a character online because it's yourself. But I think people assume whenever they hear someone with a posh voice, they're automatically putting it on.
Yeah. No, this is real. This is 100% authentic. Yeah. I don't know how you could put on a voice.
No.
For this long as well.
Yeah. There are people that do that online.
Yeah.
But have you found, because last time we caught up, you were kind of not new to it at all, because you were really like in the full flow of it, but you were on 12.5K or something.
Not even that. Yeah, maybe like 11, 10.
And now you're on almost 30.
Nearly 30, yeah.
It's wicked,
I mean,
mate.
Yeah, I... The only thing, like, obviously quitting my job. I quit my job for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
I'd moved home, mm-hmm. so I've got nothing. Like, I've got no rent to pay. I've got no overheads. I'm pretty single. I don't...
pretty single.
Dubiously, I don't know.
Yeah, fair enough.
Ambiguous.
Right. Move on.
Move on, yeah. So unnecessary. We can cut that out. it's a grey area. And then like...
These grey zoning relationships.
Yeah. I'm just not good at talking about my feelings. No. And then like... So I've got like... There's nothing holding me back. And I just didn't love what I was doing. Yeah. And I just... The thing about it is also, I looked at people around me and... It's going to sound awful, but like I didn't feel like I wanted to be there in 30 years' time. Like I feel like I had a missed opportunity, and it's growing really well. The main fear now, and also to be fair, like I got some retainers, sports shoes, mm-hmm. like that was massive for me.
Yeah,
and then also like Tilda, and then I've got another one coming up soon, which is very jokes. And so I got like, I'm taking a huge pay cut. But it's giving
but
me
it
enough.
Won't be though. It will be a step back to step forward.
Yeah.
100%.
And like, I know it's growing. And also, at the moment, I just like, I train twice a day. I have a full-time job and posting. Like, my life is dead.
Imagine this. Imagine like, as you said, you're pretty single. Mm-hmm. Imagine if you weren't single.
Oh, God, no. Okay. Impossible. Yeah.
And you had, I already find this, I found I escaped like life admin so much when mm-hmm. I had my full-time job mm-hmm. because Izzy worked for herself, still does. She would like, a lot of the flack would fall onto her in the relationship. It was very much, I was there every day. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time it'd be like, the usual work hours at the place was 10 till 6. It would usually be kind of like, especially in the first couple of years, I'd get in at 9, leave at like 6:30, 7. So it was like a long day. And then life just has to continue on as well. Mm. Like, I know it sounds, I've got, you know, there's people with kids that have to do all this sort of stuff as well. So I'm probably sound like a massive twat right now. But the point I'm making is you do lose that kind of drive to do stuff outside of work.
Oh, yeah.
When you don't have too much time.
Also, I did one video a couple of weeks ago where I was like, oh, it was a weekend, which people really missed. But it was like, oh, it's like... I did my run at like 9.
I remember that. Yeah.
And then I like did a half marathon. I had breakfast. I did some laundry. And now it's like 5:00 and I've done nothing for the rest of the day. Like, I need hobbies. And people in the comments section were like, well, if you don't have kids, like I hustle all the time and like, oh, looking after kids is so tiring. Get a job, get a real job. Stop being an influencer. And I was like, guys, it was I literally said in the video, it's a Saturday. I don't know what to do with my time outside of my 9 to 5.
That just proves people on the internet just have selective hearing. Like the funniest thing is when I saw a TikTok about this, I was creasing up, man. Because I've had so many of these comments in my videos where, okay, hypothetically, let's say I'm talking about a pair of shoes and they are really good if you're a midsole or 4-foot striker. And someone comments, yeah, but I'm a heel striker.
What about ism? Have you heard? It's a what about ism?
And I'm like, okay, cool. But I'm not talking about heel strikers here.
It's the bean soup theory.
Yeah, that's it. Theory.
What happens if I don't like beans? Then don't make the recipe. It's not that hard. Like, I'm just like, I'm like, guys, I don't understand why. My favorite was just like, it was actually the same video. And this guy commented, the reason you feel unfulfilled with your day is because you're not a man.
I remember this. He didn't call you a real man.
And I was just looking, I was like, I looked on his profile. Obviously, he was private.
Yeah.
It was one of those. Shock. He must have been mid-50s wearing like one of those wife beaters.
Yeah.
And like tensing in the gym. And I just looked, I was like, whatever your version of a man is.
I want no part of it.
I'm good. I'm happy with my vibe, whatever, you know.
This is the thing that cracks me up. You have this whole modern outlook on life, where everyone's very progressive now and, in full understanding that a man is a real plethora of things.
You can do,
and then there's these some like blokes who are really caught and they think they are just ahead of the game and they think they are the ultimate pinnacle of a man and everyone else is just wet and they're a loser. I mean, the amount of fucking comments I used to get whenever I do a video that's somewhat, let's say, talking about my feelings, it would always be woke, What's woke about talking about my feelings, mate? Do you know what I mean? It's mental. I don't get it.
Like, I don't know. I think a lot of people are getting a bit more in touch. But yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot of people online who are still.
I had a thing on TikTok the other day where I posted a video of me at a track night, an event. And a couple guys commented saying, this is everything that's wrong about running at the moment.
Oh, it's like, the coconut one.
Yeah. So it was like a Vita Coco event. Darnell Hughes is their athlete, was hosting a sprint track event. And I just posted my TikTok of me running like 200 meter relay. And the people were saying, oh, this is a disgrace. The track was closed. I had a huge session in 2 days. I had a huge meet in 2 days' time. And I wasn't able to use the track because it was closed for this event where a bunch of influencers could sprint. Why not give this opportunity to everyday athletes, you know, people who are probably better athletes that could, you know, make the most of this opportunity? And I just replied saying, he was called user, like about 16 numbers. So I replied, hello, username. And then he got really wound up at the fact that I called him username. And he's like, you referring to me as username, whatever all the numbers were, suggests that you've taken this personally. It's like, well, no, I'm just referring to you because I don't know what your name is, mate. You've got username and a load of numbers after it. But the point I was making, I was like, what? They were basically using it as a marketing campaign to bring eyes to their product. And they invited people that post content online to spread awareness of it.
That's the whole thing around like giving influencers places and stuff as well. Like, yeah. I did a video about it a couple of weeks ago after Sydney.
Yeah.
And like the only thing I have an issue with, this is my only
thing. This would be an interesting chat actually, because I'm someone who's taken, I've been given places to races.
The only thing I have is like, if you do like, I don't know, no shades of Frankfurt, but it's the first thing that came to my mind. If you do like Frankfurt, Amsterdam, where you can get in pretty easily. There's no like standard. It's a cool marathon, but it's not like one of the pinnacle ones, right? Yeah. Do whatever you want. But when it comes to world majors, right? My thing is, if you get invited, okay, and it's free, and you get you get your accommodation, you get your flights, everything. What I want to see is you really hurting yourself for that run,
right?
Because I'm like, if you give it your all, then that's cool. I just don't love. And it's just a personal opinion, and like you can also like you can disagree, but yeah. I don't love when people are like, oh, I just did that easy, because I'm like, well, you took it away from someone who really wanted to get a PB, mm-hmm. or like, why are you not like absolutely killing yourself for it? I want you to suffer. I want people who have taken a place to just like, okay.
So, all right. So what's your argument to someone, let's say, that has an A race? So for example, mm-hmm. I'm doing Chicago.
Yeah,
I'm going to be putting myself in the bin for that.
Yeah.
And then let's say another opportunity arises afterwards.
Yeah.
And you know that you don't want to race it, but it's an amazing opportunity. And why would you say no to it? Because if you ask the general population, everyone's going to say yes, who's into running.
Why can't you race it?
What?
Why can't you
because
race it?
Let's say hypothetically, the brief is you're running it with someone.
Yeah.
And you're both different abilities.
It's interesting.
Hypothetically, that happens. Yeah.
Look, it's all tricky. Like, I think you've got a balance. Also, it depends on your audience. But for me, like, also, I'm not really thinking about you. I've got specific people in mind I'm thinking of who've done this situation.
Okay.
Who actually, like, no shade, you're not an athlete though. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, so you're referring to athletes, not content
athletes,
creators.
But no, like content creators who are like
who are
saying
good.
They are good at running.
Oh,
and they are.
Well, that's different then.
Yeah. I'm not saying like general, you know, like just a content creator who, because also this is going to sound awful. Okay. But you doing a marathon is very different from me doing a marathon.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, like I know every day I can go outside and run a marathon.
Yeah.
And I'm not braggy. That's
no,
just
that's
fact.
Facts.
You, on the other hand,
yeah.
It is not as easy, right?
No.
So every time you do a marathon, right, it's still a challenge.
For sure, mate.
I'm more talking about people who, like me, like, or maybe, you know, the sub-3 guys
mm-hmm.
who are 230, 240, just going around a course being like,
okay.
Oh, I took it easy today.
Got you.
Because I know I can do back-to-backs. Like I did last year Berlin.
But what if someone doesn't want to?
Well, then don't take the place.
So you think that the place... If you're someone that's good enough to put up a crazy time,
you need to perform, because you're also there to inspire.
Okay.
And there is no inspiration when you've just done a jolly.
Okay.
Sorry, I just like, if I tomorrow, right,
yeah,
went and did Berlin for Adidas, I wish I was, but I'm not. But like, if I was doing it for Adidas, right,
yeah,
and I just like posted when I finished, I was like, oh, I did 2:45. What is anyone getting out of that?
Mm-hmm.
No brand is getting anything from it.
Yeah.
I'm not getting anything from it,
yeah,
apart from me getting a cool opportunity to go around Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really fulfilling myself. I mean,
it depends what fulfillment is to you, though.
Yeah, but like, I just don't understand what you're...
Okay,
what,
so if your audience is there to inspire,
yeah,
and to bring new eyes to... like, let's say someone, they have built their platform off progression. So like one day I'd like to think I'm going to be someone that can run a 2:50.
Yeah.
Okay. But at the moment I'm not. Mm. I'm someone that's, you know, trying to go for 3:15. Like, I'm still at a level which to me once upon a time was alien.
Yeah.
Very alien.
Yeah.
But like now, going to do a marathon and taking it easy, we're probably going around and doing 3:45.
Mm.
So, but that for me was my complete, like, that was me putting myself in the pits of hell to get to that point.
Yeah.
So now it's almost like, right, my audience have been on that journey with me and they know the reason that I'm making that content is because I like the idea of bettering myself and also providing some sort of inspiration for others. So if I'm therefore then kind of nodding to that,
yeah,
in the content, let's say it's like, right, I'm doing this race. It's not my A race, but it's an incredible opportunity. And this is like, maybe I'm pacing someone, you know, that's a different kettle of fish, because no, that has a purpose
But then that's a story.
I'm yeah.
Because if you're just going around a marathon for a jolly, I don't see the point for a brand.
Okay.
And I don't see the point for you unless you just want to get another major in your belt. But like, I've never turned up to a marathon going like, oh, today's the day I'm just gonna take it easy. Like,
yeah.
Because I wouldn't feel, I'd finish and be like, I mean,
now what?
Like that was fun.
But I also think
medal.
Your perspective on running is fairly unique compared to, but you are, I don't think I can even look at you in the same way that I'd look at other like good runners who are content creators,
yeah,
though, because you are someone that fell in love so deeply with the sport and then decided I'm going to start making content of it. I was making content before I even began running. Like, I ran a little bit in the past, but when I properly like got back into it was like 2023.
Yeah.
And I was already started making content. So it's, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was,
but also I'm just like the majors, especially like, people like spend their lives like trying to do BQ, like Boston qualifying. And then I can see why it rattles people if someone just gets a place and then just goes and jollies around.
I had
it.
This conversation with Theo Baker when he got a spot for Adidas to do Boston.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was
but
like,
he
to
killed
me,
himself.
Yeah, no, I
that's
know.
That's what
exactly.
I love.
Yeah.
And I see that and go, that's cool.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's a journey. That works for Boston. That works for Adidas because he is putting his life and soul into it.
Yeah.
It's just for me, it's just when I see someone who just goes and like, gets a place at a really cool event and it doesn't put their like heart into it. And all I just want is like, I'm happy for anyone to get any opportunity. If then you're going to use that opportunity and be like,
yeah,
this, I'm going to really like put, like, that's what I liked about what Mary did, to be fair, for Sydney. I mean, dropping a 2:55.
Yeah, but that is
fair.
That she's like trained like a beast for that.
But exactly, that's what I want to see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like loads of people probably hated on her before it for taking that.
Oh,
and then
yeah, of course.
They saw it and went, oh, fair. Like, that's class. Like, that was unbelievable effort on that course as well. And that's, then I'm looking at that and like, that's inspiring. I can see how that's inspiring. And I can see how for runner, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm, you know, that's great.
I get you.
It's just more like, I'm now, if you look at it from a brand perspective as well, what are they getting? Okay, so if you are like, I'm doing two majors this year, right?
Yeah.
I'm doing Berlin and then New York. That's a good way of doing it, right?
Yeah.
So if this was me, right, I'm also a different example because
you are kind of a bit more like run to Japan though. Like, you're a bit more kind of like go hard or go home.
Yeah. But like, if you're gonna have an A and B goal, right, or like you've got two majors and one's more important than the other.
Yeah.
Put the one that's more important first.
Yeah.
Because then, like, your whole thing is going towards it. Most people, actually, 99% of people, do not need to run a marathon before their major marathon.
That, yeah, that's a fair point, you know, because it's not really like it's needed as a warm-up.
It's not, unless you are, I do marathon distance, and even that's like a bit unadvisable.
Yeah.
So like, I'll do a couple of 40, 38, 40, 42 Kers. I did 44 in a couple of weeks ago before Berlin, but I'm not running at all at marathon pace, or I'm doing like, I did a steady progression for 44K. But most people don't need to do that. Pros do it a lot because they just need that volume. And if you're doing 200K a week, like you're bound to be running 40K.
It's interesting hearing your perspective on it because like I've never really deeped it. I've never really thought about it because I'm not going to lie. I don't care.
Yeah.
I just really don't care. If someone wants to run a marathon, however they like, fine. They can do that. I'm really not asked. The difference between you and I is your ability is so much higher. And when you entered the sport, you got like a 303 in your first marathon.
Yeah.
I knew like ability wise, we are like chalk and cheese. So I feel like it's always like when you entered the sport, you always had that kind of almost that elite mindset with it.
I don't know, like, cause I'm not really like a running purist either. Like I'm not a traditional club runner at all or anything like that. And those guys, like, I think probably have a lot of opinions on, there is definitely a divide at the moment between like a bit of old school running and then like the influencer kind
of
style.
Ever been like someone ever like heckled you from the old school running space, like in person?
No, I mean I never get anything from like posting online. Some people think I'm a bit of a tit, which is completely fair.
Well, I mean,
like,
it's the internet, mate.
Also, I am a bit of a tit.
Also, if people don't dislike you on the internet,
you're doing something wrong.
I think so. Because ultimately that means you're not, I'm not saying be provocative, but even if you're doing something that shouldn't piss anyone off, if it's doing well, it will piss people off.
Yeah. Not that I've grown like mad quick, but I've done decently.
Very good.
And like, I've noticed like when you put something out that's a bit more on the edge, you get more views. Yeah. And that's how like people go from being pretty ordinary like regular guys who like don't do anything crazy to like saying some pretty extreme views, because they know that, and they probably just started off by saying something a little controversial and they're like, oh, it's growing, and then you just start going down that road.
Yeah.
But the only things that I've ever had is like people really question my training.
You've never really given that window into your training, I don't think, too much.
Nah, I just do a lot of I do a lot of volume.
What's your biggest ever week?
This block, I did T100 like 6 weeks ago, and then I did 190, 195, 196, 180, 150 last week, and then 160 last week, and then
So how many have you done today? How much have you done today?
18K.
18 in two sessions or one?
Just one. And then because Berlin's 5-6 days away, so tomorrow is my track session, like the last speed workout, so I'll do three or four by a mile.
Okay.
At like
marathon pace, or
no, quick, like half marathon pace probably.
Okay, cool.
Maybe a bit touch quicker than that.
Yeah.
Maybe close to 10K. And then Wednesday I'll do easy. Thursday I might do like a bit of marathon pace, so maybe like 10 minutes of marathon pace, 20 minutes. Oh, sorry. so popular. And then the one text. Oh, it's from my mum. Am I joking? We'll never know.
It was from his mom. Well, that's what you call her.
Oh, God.
Sorry, I took it too far. Smack on the wrist.
So I'll do like 2 by 10K or something. And then on Friday, probably like 10K. Saturday.
Yeah, you don't taper.
No, I don't.
Okay, I've been seeing your post about this. Yeah,
I don't, because I get in my head. I get in my head and I fully admit it, because last year I had this like golden period, did Berlin where I got 219, then did New York 4 or 5 weeks later, did 221, came like 37th. It was wild. Those two just went crazy good. And I didn't, for either of them, didn't taper, didn't really carb load.
What?
Yeah, I didn't really carb load.
Okay.
Because I feel really fluffy.
Yeah, I hate carb loading.
Yeah, I feel fluffy, I feel flat. And also I'm always worried about, you know, having to go to the loo. Mm-hmm. And then I did Valencia where I tapered and I carb loaded and it just went disastrously.
Last year?
Yeah.
So you did 3 big marathon full sends in the space of 3 months.
Yeah. And I got 220 at Valencia. And so that's my point. You can go back to back.
You went 220 in Valencia.
Yeah.
So you got better in Valencia than New York. Obviously, New York's a lot harder.
A lot harder, yeah. And I went to the toilet twice in Valencia.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And you did a 220?
Yeah.
Were you trying to beat 219?
Yeah, I was going for it. I think my first half was 68-30. Create like create, and then
what's your average pace for that then?
That was like 220 or 219 is 319s a kilometer.
Mate.
Yeah.
It's quite that disgusting. That is obscene.
Yeah. So
I was saying I've set myself a target.
Mm.
I want to do, and I think I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I've got Paris 10K in December.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to do the entire race in the threes.
Yeah, cool.
So, like, that's my goal.
When is it?
10th of December, I want to say. Yeah. So
week after Vente, I'd love to go. Yeah. Should come out. This is also the benefit, like, yeah, quitting your job, fucking, right?
Yeah.
Quitting your job. You do.
Mate, I was literally chatting to Ibby from Socony.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he was like to Johnny and I, like, offered us the spots. And I was like to Johnny, I was like, I feel so inspired doing Copenhagen and seeing all of these rapid people. Like a friend of mine, Harrison, who I was there with, he did 118.
Mm.
And then his mate, Harry from home, who was with him, did 115. Literally, like, incredibly fast. Mm. And I just looked at those lads and gone, you know what? They're obviously incredible athletes, but it's like, there's no reason why one day I can't do that.
Yeah.
And that's what I find so inspiring about running. Like, especially this year with Copenhagen, I feel like I was looking at all these people's times that were like, you know, sub 120. And I was like, I'm really not, like, I'm obviously nowhere near that right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not too far out of reach. If I did a solid half marathon block, I think, if I did a half marathon block the length of time that I'm doing my Chicago block, I think I could go 125.
I love the half marathon.
Yeah, it's such a great distance.
It's also like a marathon, you put yourself, like, just, it's,
yeah,
you feel like binge juice for 99% of it. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. It's long. Yeah. Half marathons, you can actually like crack on with your day afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, also, congrats on Copenhagen.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How sick is the city?
Oh, mate, so good.
Love Copenhagen.
I want to talk to you about it because it was one of them races where I got it super last minute. If you watch my vlogs, you would know that, like, I got the bib 2 weeks ago and I was just trying to look for hotels and stuff. And this is what I love about running and, like, the common interest sort of thing. A guy who watches my vlogs, a guy called Josh, messaged me on Insta because I kind of said, look, help. Hotels are expensive. If anyone knows how to help me out here, like, even if you got a sofa, like, just sort me out sort of thing. He messaged saying he on his own months ago, or maybe like even when he first booked his bib, got a 6-man hostel room, like dorm room, to himself because it was so cheap. So they hadn't like upped the prices or anything yet.
No way.
And so it was cheaper than hotels. And he got it at, I think, well, we paid £60 each. So 180 for one night.
Yeah, yeah.
And he messaged me saying, I've got like, what, loads of beds. I don't want it to be too full because it would just be long if like loads of us are sleeping in there. So I was like, okay, what, me and a friend, is that okay? And he said, yeah, absolutely fine. So three of us in there, £60 for the night. And like, I only did that because I share on social, only happened because I share on social media. Yeah. And someone, you know, I didn't know him. I met him.
Which hostel was it?
It was Next House. It was amazing. Oh, mate, it was full.
Hostels in
Copenhagen.
It was
wicked.
Are amazing. Have you ever seen the pod ones? I stay in them every
year. The pod ones are good. Oh, yeah.
So good.
But it was great. And like, amazing bed, had great night's sleep. But it was just one of them races where, although I didn't go to like race it, I still put myself a really good session together where it was like, it gave me a real bit of confidence for Chicago. Cause I,
what time, you didn't put your time?
I got 133,
oh, nice.
But it was like,
PB?
No, I did 132.40, I think, in Hackney this year. That was a PB, but that was like,
actually then Copenhagen is your PB.
Why?
Hackney doesn't count.
Oh, right. Of course it doesn't.
Does it?
It's not. Technically it is.
Technically a PB.
So it's. So the plan was for us to do 4:30s the entire way, which is our Chicago race pace. Both of us going for the same time, Johnny and I. And it was one of them days for me, and you'll probably like know potentially why this is. My cardio felt amazing. My heart rate was like 168 the whole time. I was like just like kissing threshold. Like, I wasn't even like in it properly. Mm. But my body was just like, nah, bro, can't be arsed. It's just like, my body didn't feel like it was there, but it was like, it was enough where I could still do it, but.
I had the literal opposite today.
Really?
My legs felt, I was flying.
Tip top.
Yeah. And then my like just general body was just like, I felt sick, you know? Yeah. That's interesting.
So I had pretty bad sleep on the Friday night. I woke up at 3:30 in the morning to get my flight on Saturday, so that I had like 4 hours sleep, and then the night before the race I had like 5.5, 6 hours. So I didn't have the best of sleeps leading up to it. And I think I was getting a little bit ill. Mm. I think I've beaten it now, though, by doing the race. But I don't know. Well, it was wicked, though. Really good
Copenhagen's
course.
Oh, actually, if you can't get into a major, Copenhagen is the next best one. Mm-hmm. I've done it 3 times.
What, marathon?
Yeah.
Really?
I love it. That's why I got Marriott this year. This, the world record.
Oh, mad.
It's so good.
And oh, yeah, of course. That was this year, yeah.
The crowds are great.
Yeah.
Everyone's just so beautiful as well. The buns, like the cinnamon buns I'm talking about. Right. Cardamom, actually.
Cardamom buns were unbelievable.
The place you went
mate.
Today.
Yeah.
What was it called again?
Heart,
yeah. Oh.
So I went to...
Sensational.
We'll float around the race bit, but bakeries, yeah. Went to Buca on the first day.
Yeah.
Went to Juno after the race.
Oh, class.
Yeah, very... It was near the finish line, to be fair.
You know what? I know they're like good bakeries when... They're like milk buns, which are literally just rolls.
Yeah.
Just slap.
I didn't have them. I just had, I think from Juno, I went with a plain croissant and I went with a cardamom bun. Mm-hmm. I had a cardamom bun in most places I was at, but mate, today, Heart Bakery this morning, I had It was a Comté and Leek quiche. Oh, it was so good. And it had like Parmesan.
I swear I'm not posh.
Fuck, I do not help myself. But yeah, no,
really enjoyed my quiche today.
Quiche, yes. Yeah. Yes, I had that, and then I had this like I forget what it's called. It's essentially a Danish egg custard tart. Yeah, mate, it was so good. Yeah. And the coffee's amazing as well.
I would live there.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think I had the best Middle Eastern food I've ever had as well.
Really?
Yeah, I went to a place called Gaza Grill in the Meatpacking District. Yeah, have you been there?
I've been there.
I had a beef shawarma.
How
it was incredible.
Good is the Meatpacking District?
Yeah, sick.
Well. Such a good
nice
vibe.
Bars.
Oh,
it gives me. It reminds me of a place that you'd see in East London. Do you know what I mean? Because it feels like the sort of thing that East London
wants
to be. I'm
going to apologize to everyone who's Danish and is from Copenhagen right now. That is
Why?
So unfair.
Why?
Copenhagen is like stunning.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
I
Don't
think you're
tell
getting
me
the
East
wrong
London
end of the stick here.
Is beautiful.
You're getting the wrong end of the stick here. I'm not saying that. It's not beautiful. Well, sorry, I'm not saying it's beautiful. What I'm saying is it felt like a very, like, what the gentrifiers of East London want.
It's the utopia.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. And then they took a wrong turn and they got to East London.
Mm, yeah. Is that your least favourite part of London?
To be fair, when I did Hackney Half...
It's wicked, mate.
I stayed there for the weekend and it was really nice, actually.
Yeah,
got a little hotel.
Yeah.
It was really nice.
Oh, yeah, you were in
a sex
Bethnal
hotel.
Green.
Yeah,
you were at Mama Shelter, weren't you? Yeah,
really suspect. And I lay down and just the mirror up there.
I've never seen one of those.
Yeah, and the mask, and then you knew it was a funky hotel because you turned on the TV and the first option was porn.
What?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was not BBC. Before a race. Are you joking? No chance.
No, I'm just saying you wasn't BBC. Are you sure?
Oh
yeah, sorry. The we're talking about a fucking half marathon, and now we got onto this.
Yeah, we really do go.
Sorry, Copenhagen half. Yeah. I need to talk to you about through the race because I found can I just say, the start of it was one of the worst start experiences I've ever had of any race. So we get to the field, amazing, all going well. Those clouds look nice, but it was like fine. I just knew it was going to be a bit of a crap day. Bag drop done in your vest. It was a bit nippy, mate. It was probably like 16, which
not too bad, but yeah,
but like for it's still a summer race,
yeah.
And so it was cold, there was a wind as well. Anyway, queuing up, we're late, by the way. We're supposed to be at the start line for 9, it was like 9:40, so we were with all the like 2-hour 15ers and we were just pushing our way through. Anyway, pushing our way through, and it's just the heavens open, mate. I was absolutely soaked before the race. Absolutely drenched. And I later found out, our friends that were running a lot quicker, it was like 10K into their race, it started raining and we were just weaving through the start line. How long is that?
That's my nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the good thing about Copenhagen is for the marathon is I get an elite place.
Do you?
Yeah. It's so, I mean, I think you get an elite place if you're below 2:32, which is quick. Obviously it's very quick, but in the grand scheme of things is not
at
quick.
The majors, is that not a good for age though?
Yeah, but you get a proper like elite. You can get drinks on course.
Wow.
Like
you had drinks on course as Mario.
Yeah. Trust me, it rattled some people.
I bet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. People did not enjoy that. But like you get a special, like you get a little tent.
Mm-hmm.
and you put all your stuff there. There's no bag drop. It's just like, there's only, I don't know, 100 people in there anyway. And there's a couple of toilets.
Yeah.
And like, it makes just the experience so much more because like, it's so much better because like, have you, which major have you done? Have you done?
Just London.
Just, yeah, you did London.
And Chicago will be my second.
But like, when you're just queuing up for those loos, it takes an hour to get to the loo. It's so grim. Yeah. Like, people have no
etiquette. Paris was awful. Yeah.
And like, you're trapped in like sardines. And like, that experience is so jarring considering you're just about to run a marathon where you're already anxious.
Yeah.
You're already, and it's just like heightened nerves.
Yeah.
And like, you know, when I did New York as well, that's a crazy setup. Like,
I've heard.
I can't believe that it's been going on for so long and they have not done a better way of doing it.
Everyone was saying to me, apparently you get dumped in a car park at like 5:30 in the morning and you have to stay there till 9:00.
They're like, oh, it's going to take an hour and a half to drive there. So you have to leave from like central Manhattan at 5:00 in the morning.
And it takes like 20 minutes.
It takes like 15 minutes. I'm there. I don't take my phone when I race. So I was there for nearly 4 hours just by myself, just like with my thoughts.
What, you're just doing rock, paper, scissors?
Yeah. Saved me this year was I was sitting next to three guys and who were all in fancy dress. They were dressed up as like a band from the 80s. I can't really remember the kind of 118 guys.
Yeah.
That advert. They kind of looked like that.
Okay.
All wigs, kind of dresses, kind of
You're
very...
not allowed fancy dress though.
No, but they weren't really in fancy, like it was fancy dress, but very minimal okay, fancy dress. Like you. There was not a big costume,
yeah.
But they were wearing wigs and like had transferable tattoos.
Yep.
So they started putting transferable tattoos on me because I was bored. And like they were great and they were from Oregon and they were that vibe.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
very chilled. And it was actually a very nice environment. But if I didn't have those guys.
You'd be in a pit, mate.
So boring. So yeah, just bring like a pack of cards.
Yeah.
Good content opportunities.
Unlike
as well.
You, I take my phone.
This
is another thing we were saying about with running. Like my experience on the course is so different to someone like yours because you're so locked in and you like give everything. Okay. I have to give everything. I won't for Chicago probably, but I still have to be able to record. I still have to be able to film content.
But also, like, I don't ever, you know, like just because I know this is what her content is, but like someone like Jenny Fit. Is it Jenny Fit?
Yeah, Jenny.
So she like, what they call it, like not joggle, like jog walk. What's the, Joe Wicks like coiner's term about like walk running.
Right.
Okay. And like, but if you're doing a walk run or a run, like no matter who you are in the marathon, most people are still giving 110. Our heart rates are going to be the same rate.
Oh, I sorry.
You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying. Sorry, yes, yeah.
They're still
yeah.
suffering.
No, I
so,
know.
So like...
But the point I'm making though is like, you would not be thinking about filming anything.
Yeah.
That's the point I'm making. Like for me, even if I'm giving myself absolute hell out there, I still, for whatever reason, think that I need to be documenting parts
of
it.
I'm still just worried. I'm doing it for weight.
Yeah.
For like phone, it just feels... And also like, I don't know, if I wear the sore half tights.
Uh-huh.
And if you just got too much going on there, they start to slip. And that is not what you want in your race later. It's your bum crack.
I got the best half tights I've ever worn, mate.
Oh, which ones?
They're from Barine, this Copenhagen brand. And they gave Johnny and I a fit to wear for the race.
Oh, nice.
And they are the comfiest half tights I've ever had. They are amazing. Two pockets.
Yeah.
No zip pocket at the back for gels, which is the only thing. But they've got two side pockets. And if you've got no phone in there, you can get a ton of gels
in. Yeah. I mean, I'm a half tights guy.
Oh man, I can't wear split shorts or anything like that.
How do you just not get such bad chafing?
This is what I'm saying.
What
and you're a slimmer guy as well. I always thought it was because I was a big bloke.
I've got a thigh gap. I don't have a thigh gap.
But you just got big legs, you mean? Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I mean
for your size.
Yeah.
No, it's interesting. If you know how to avoid chafing
please,
with shorts, let me know because I'm limiting myself.
I use Vaseline and I still get it.
Yeah. Yeah, same.
And like it's so uncomfortable. So half tights are the way. Well, so you kind of feel like you're just running slightly naked.
I get you. Yeah, there's a breeze, isn't there?
Yeah.
Right. So one thing in Copenhagen, which I found super interesting in the race, that I'm so confused as to why. Well, firstly, the world majors aren't doing. And secondly, why not every race adopts this idea.
I hope you're gonna say something that isn't adopted.
No, because it genuinely isn't. Okay. No other race that I've done has got this. So in Copenhagen, you have your bib number really small. okay? And it's just your name.
Just your name, okay? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tell me what the need to have your bib number massive on your bib is. Tell me the point of it.
You're asking the wrong person.
No, but genuinely.
They do it at the Copenhagen Marathon as well. You've got your name.
Yeah. It's a great idea. Like, who needs to see it? It says 5645. No one needs that. They just need to see the name because then they can share their name.
You make a valid point. And you're
is it resource? Is it because it takes too long to print?
I think maybe it's because like it's such a big thing when you're an elite to have your name on your front.
Yeah, but they had theirs different. Like Becky had like massive things saying Becky.
Yeah.
Nothing else. Like massive text.
No, but I'm saying when you do like the London Marathon Major, right?
Yeah.
When you're an elite and you get your surname put on the front of it.
Yeah.
That's like such a big moment. Whereas if you're just like... If everyone has it, then it maybe devalues the special.
In pre-season when they just wear the shirt numbers and don't wear the names on the back.
Yeah, maybe it's that.
Interesting. Yeah, if you know why, let me know. But the obvious answer would be resource.
Yeah.
Like, but the way they did it was great because you just do your QR code and then it will just ping to a printer and it's got your name.
Mm.
So, I mean, they're printing them off anyway. You might as well have the names if it's all system.
No, I agree. I think it would look nice.
I saw the UVU guys there. I didn't see him in person in the race. Saw them after the race, though.
Who are the guys?
You know, like all of the UVU crew. You've got like Addy Gillespie, all of those boys.
I'm really out of the loop.
Really? You don't know UVU?
I know UVU, the brand.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're like the crew of it.
So like, you know, 247 have their boys, like the crew. Then the UVU have got their own crew.
Do they?
It's the height of what your lot, not your lot, but like the proper runners would dislike.
Yeah, I think
like
it is.
Like the cool boys.
Yeah. I think it's the 247 guys as well. They actually, you know, Alfie Manthorpe's a 247 guy and he's a...
They're all great guys, mate.
Elite athlete. So.
No, but that's not the point of them. They are creators. They are creators.
The UVU ones.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're not... They are creators, but they've become creators because they're part of this.
Good running or no.
Mate, really good.
Yeah.
I think the quickest guy, who's actually a guy called Tom Black. I think he did 1:11. So very like decent time if you're not like, well, I mean, he is. I think he's a coach. I could be shooting myself in the foot here. Who knows? But yeah, very happy with my performance there. It was a real nice test. I feel like...
How many gels did you take, by the way? I mean, always interested.
I did 3.
Nice.
Just because I wanted, because I was trying the Cadence ones. Yeah, really good. Yeah. Really, they're like really easy to consume as well. The more ones I find chewy. Unflavored. Best way to describe it is like precision hydration vibe.
Yeah.
No nonsense.
It's more liquid. Like that is the thing about Morton.
Yeah.
I can't really eat Morton anymore.
It's chewy,
I had too many.
Like, mate, what it does inside you is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's brilliant.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I've never had a
Precision Fuel is my favourite currently, so.
I really liked it when I took it.
I mean, to be fair, OT is actually quite good as well.
Right.
OT have flavours, and I couldn't do, like, 7 flavours.
Yeah.
But to change it up, maybe I'll do that at Berlin. I don't know what, I'm literally don't even know my nutrition strategy for Berlin.
Oh, do you not?
No.
Right, let's talk about Berlin
then.
Let's talk about Berlin. So, this goes out on Thursday. It will be a few days before Berlin. I'll be out in Berlin.
I can't wait. All I want is a pint.
Oh, mate, we'll have a few afterwards.
I can't wait.
But you know what's really annoying, though? Is because, like, this is the same in Copenhagen last night. I was, like, didn't have that post-race feeling because I was like, I'm just part of the job for Chicago.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be 3 weeks out from Chicago and you all just pissed. Be wanting to get leathered. Yeah. I'll have a few... But
I can't wait to catch up with Gabriel. I haven't seen him in ages.
Yeah, I know.
Get on the bit.
I would love it if I had the facilities just us to do a pod out there straight after the race. That would be jokes.
Do that, but also so risky. Risk to reward is so high, especially with me and Gabriel, because like if we both had a bad race, we'd just be sitting here and be like,
no, you know what the funniest thing would be though?
One of us having a good
one. Okay, that would be even funnier. But if you both had stinkers and I'm there trying to get blood out of a stone.
If you'd done it post London where Gabriel gave up at 5K and I bonked at like 28K and walked for half of it, that would have been the deadest episode ever.
Oh, that would have been hilarious, mate.
Also, both of us after sinking so much money go to Kenya.
Like, so how was Kenya, boys? Go well?
Yeah.
Didn't do that this time though.
Nah, this time we've been very chilled.
Graffiti in your house.
Yeah. Oh, no, we can't. That's too PTSD.
We're not going to go into that.
No, we're not. I'm actually scared.
Oh, you're scared of a few spray cans.
Yeah. The graffiti community did not like what I did, and we're going to move on so quickly.
Okay. All right. Moving on.
Yeah, because okay. I actually can't.
They've got your number.
Yeah, they literally do. So right, I'm not. They might watch. If they watch this all the way to an hour in,
48 minutes in,
respect.
Yeah.
But no, I've taken a very different approach to this block because I realized after London, if you sacrifice as much as I did for it, if you don't get the result, you really have to reflect and be like, was it worth it?
Yeah.
Because it can happen again. It can happen. I could never PB again in a marathon. That's like a big, like I could definitely never.
Well, I looked at that when Nick Bester did sub 220 last Berlin. And like, I remember being so gassed for him because obviously I knew he was going for that when he coached me at the start of 2024. And I was like, to think that he's led to that moment. And then now he's probably in the mindset of like, realistically, he's what, pushing 40 now, isn't he?
I think he's over 40.
Is he? I don't know, but he's got like
Age grouper, so like
But still, like he's probably, the chances are with two young kids, it's amazing that he did 220 his age as well. So yeah, I mean, like you have that point where like you can enjoy the moment, relish the hard work, but you've got to remember that like you actually don't know what's gonna happen.
I know, and also like I remember I did it and it was such an anticlimax.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've spent 3 years trying to break. It's not actually that long, but like, I thought 220 was like the pinnacle. And then I did it and I was just like,
is it the pinnacle for like your kind
for
of
like
set
sub,
of runners?
Sub elite. Like I'm never going to be a pro. And like the difference between 215 and 220 is just ginormous.
So it's not feasible. Yeah.
I mean, I might be able to get it, but again, like it's that, how much do I have to sacrifice to get to that level? And like, I just don't know if I have that hunger. Like I love it.
Yeah.
But, and this block, what I did was I did a lot of mileage. I've hit my biggest mileage ever, but if something didn't go well, I just moved on. Like
a bit of a switch of mindset.
Yeah. And I've had much more of a social life as well. And like, I've gone out, I've done things, like I've even been dating and that pre-London. Also, probably because I had really low testosterone pre-London, but like,
oh, really,
yeah,
why?
I got my bloods done, and it was not good.
Was that just from overtraining?
Yeah, overtraining. You,
reds.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I had that specifically. Like, I think I just had a bit of, like when you're training.
But isn't
that
a big
much,
symptom of it though?
You
low libido.
Yeah, low testosterone.
Yeah.
And I think every runner who does that much often gets it. If it won't get you initially, but it will get you in the end. And like, also I'm convinced, I don't know, probably 90% of runners are underfueling.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. Like
your
mum again. because like I just look at like what a lot of people eat and it's like, it's a normal diet.
Yeah.
And then I know, even for me, I sometimes look at what I eat and I'm going like, I did like 36K today. This doesn't seem like loads.
Can I ask you this? Because I'm in very much in this headspace right now where I'm obviously someone that's like essentially trying to train to a level that I've not done yet. Every marathon block that I do, there's new elements to it that I've not experienced before. Mm. And at the moment, my mileage is pretty similar to what it would be for Paris, but it's the intensity of the speed sessions that have upped.
Yeah.
And so I'm now like feeling great. And like, I actually feel more on top of my life when I have a bigger week.
Mm.
So the bigger my training week, I feel the most organized in my work. I feel really like just emotionally great, which is really weird. But then with eating, I'm very much of the mindset of if I don't fuel, I'm going to get injured. Mm. I've made this kind of like almost toxic relationship with my brain, not with food, but toxic relationship with my brain where I've gone, I'm so scared to underfuel because what if I then get a little injury that persists and then it ruins my whole race? I'd much rather carry a bit of extra timber and maybe feel a little bit like overweight because I don't get injured. But after Chicago, I don't want to do that. I want to continue running and progressing, but I don't want to be continuously eating all the time and like feeling like I almost need to. I want to have a diet that is somewhat balanced and I can cut a little bit, but everyone says you can't do that. But how do runners who are at that level of like, let's say my level, okay, where you're one like 6 months away from hopefully sub three, sort of that sort of area. How do you go about changing your lifestyle
when you're not training for a block?
Yeah, but then also like keeping the progression up.
I think it's such a hard question. Every time I lose weight properly, or like, okay, so the reason there is such underfueling in running is because the idea of lighter is faster has always been there.
Yeah.
And to an extent, like, I sometimes feel when I'm a bit lighter, I'm just feel a bit easier going through the motions. You just feel better when you're running.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, and I think that's how people get stuck into the cycle. But all my best times have always been from when I've been heavier.
Okay.
And every time I've dropped serious weight quickly, I've got a stress fracture.
Wow. Okay.
And so I think that's always what I've correlated it to. It's not really, the mileage has always been high. It's just when I start to underfuel. And it's because, like, you know, I'm sure there's a bit of body dysmorphia in there. Mm-hmm. Seeing people also, like, I'm a bigger guy for my kind of the guys I'm around. On the marathon
but
start
me and
line.
You are kind of similar, like we both used to be chubby kids.
Yeah.
So it's always that element that you element, always yeah. think of yourself worse than you are.
Yeah, exactly. And so like I always look around and see all these like absolute stick thin guys and I'm like, oh, I probably should try and cut a bit for this block. But that's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
But
I just basically want to get myself to a point because at the moment
the key thing is you can't always, I think what social media is really bad for is that you, and I'm now feeling this so much more and I kind of get it, but
I can't always be training for something.
Every influencer is always training.
I know, and I'm part of the problem.
I'm part of the problem
as
well.
Yeah, I know. I've literally called myself out on this. I've said I'm constantly training for something, but it, as I said, it always helps me mentally, mate. And I don't have something in the calendar.
I get that. I
just go to like such a shit place mentally.
Yeah, because I've got no purpose if I don't. That's my thing about that video where I was like, I need hobbies because I don't do anything apart from aggressively exercise.
Mm.
That's it. And cook and eat.
Yeah.
I don't have anything. I mean, that's why I started doing content because it gave me something else.
Well, your mom needs to fuck off.
But I don't understand. I've turned it on silent.
Although you're not a nutritionist,
yeah.
What do you reckon my best course of action is then? Because like after Chicago, I want a cut.
If you
want
to have a six pack.
No, I don't want a six pack. I just want to lose weight, mate. Because I lost weight before and I got myself to a certain level. But now, because I've been constantly training for endurance events, I'm starting to put on weight again.
Also,
I see myself slipping a little bit.
When you're training a higher mileage, your hunger cues, your ghrelin levels, they all kind of go out of whack.
Yeah.
And that's why, and you're searching for carbohydrates because your glycogen stores are lower and you're always trying to find something to like appease that craving.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so when you're, that's the point of not being on a block every week of your life.
Yeah.
And so if you have a bit of downtime, I always find actually like if I have a month off, so a lower mileage, do some cross training, go to the gym, I eat less and I usually actually feel, because you also just, when you're doing a lot of mileage, your body's inflamed.
Mm.
And so when you stop doing that mileage, actually it gives your body to like flush out that inflammation and recover. And actually that's when you start becoming a bit less, you know, like fluffy and like not feeling so like great about yourself. Because also when I feel a bit leaner, you feel way better in yourself.
Yeah, bro. You just feel a lot better. I want to figure out a way that I can kind of, when I am in block, let's sort of like keep level. The problem is I just love food too much.
Same.
That's the issue.
I live next to It's a Bagel.
Oh yeah. Is it one?
No, it's not It's a Bagel. It's Bagel. That's what it's called. Yeah, I heard that. I'm just going to. And have you ever had one?
No.
Oh, mate, they're unbelievable.
No. It's Bagel.
It's Bagel.
And okay.
There's like a couple of them around London.
Give them a go.
I buy three a day.
What, as in like?
They do sandwiches and stuff, but also they just sell bagels.
Okay, yeah, cool.
And like their bagels are literally so.
They're not them ones that go really hard really quickly, are they?
I'd argue they kind of go a bit soft.
Okay.
They're done in a day.
Yeah.
I'll give them a day.
Yeah.
And then, but I'm eating two at least a day.
Because like if you do like, you know, the company that you love, Too Good To Go, sometimes you get a Too Good To Go bag of bagels and they're always like rocks.
I've had 11 before in a Too Good To Go bag with bagels.
Yeah.
And I just looked at the guy and I was like,
what am I going to do with these?
And he's like, well, you know, you're fighting food waste. And I was like, no, you can't be bothered.
You're just greenwashing.
Yeah. Yeah. 11 bagels. I just put 9 of them in the freezer. Like,
yeah.
They're still there.
Yeah.
Because also no one, a defrosted bagel just ain't the same.
Yeah, your mum, Stephen's not
Stephen,
enjoying those.
Stephen is not a fan. Stephen's not a fan of Two
Right,
Weeks Ago.
I've got something I need to talk to you about.
Oh, God. Okay.
Because it really wound me up. And I need your thoughts on it. And mm-hmm. I'm sending out my condolences to the people of the Ironman 70.3 Weymouth.
What happened? I actually don't know.
They cancelled the swim. Yeah. Imagine, okay, you're someone that doesn't swim mm-hmm. and you've trained yourself to a point to get into a pool, start learning how to swim. You've trained yourself to the competent level where you can swim 1.8, 1.9K. And they go, nope, you don't have to do that. How gutting must that have been? So and also, there's your 70.3 with an asterisk.
I had the same issue at T100 London.
Yeah.
Because a couple of days before, there was green algae or something in the water. So they were going to cancel it. And I was really like torn between, I hate swimming. I suck at swimming. It's the worst of the three. Being like, so if it got cancelled, I just had a mad day. I've never swum that fast in my life.
Right.
But I kind of had this thing is like, if it got cancelled, it's taking away my worst discipline. So I'll probably finish higher up, right?
Ah, I see.
But if they take it out, you're doing a T98. It's not the same, is it? It's not I guess it's exactly the same for the Ironman, right?
Yeah.
You're just doing a cycle and swim, and it just it doesn't sound so good.
It's not even about the sounding good. For me, it's the fact that people have
it's for me in my head. I'm like, have I achieved the Ironman?
Yeah,
no.
Apparently you don't get a refund as well.
No, because it's just like force majeure. Like,
is that what it's called? It's acts of God.
Yeah, yeah. Like they can't do anything about it. And I looked at I saw a TikTok, I think, about
it. It's flat as a pancake. And,
yeah.
It's because they called it, I believe, like somewhat night before.
It's because last year they kept I think it was Swansea, and someone died.
No, I know the one you're talking about. It wasn't. It was an Irish one or something. Oh, there was something with a sea swim toucan died.
And so if you're a race organizer, do you think you're like, actually, it's not worth it?
100%. I'm completely with them on that. Yeah. But a lot of people, what they did is they went and did the swim themselves. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And then people that then posted, I saw a couple comments where people that were posting about how it was cancelled and they only did the bike and the swim the bike and the run, because some people did the swim on their own accord. They were then saying those people were pathetic because they didn't do the swim on their own. And it's like, I'm just thinking, right, okay, I've built myself up to this moment. The last thing I'm probably going to want to do is an unsanctioned swim where something could go wrong and then potentially ruin my whole day.
Also, Ironman costs 650 quid or some ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah.
And you dropped thousands and thousands on overall on an Ironman probably, right? And then they're like, oh, we give you a really special entrance. Like the whole thing is like that guy on the microphone giving you that massive like cheer up before you start.
Yeah.
And it's like super special, right? And then you just don't, when you're running into the water and everyone's like screaming and it's amazing, that's a feeling, right? You don't get that when they're lining up on a bike.
No.
Do you?
No.
You just, it's not you can't build that atmosphere. Yeah. And also the sun's not rising over the sea, or like even if the conditions are bad, like there's that feel, and then you just don't get that. And then and then it just doesn't feel the same.
It's not right. No. And it's like, I get it. Logistically, it would just be too much of a nightmare just to postpone the event. But I almost feel like sometimes, I don't know, actually that would cause too many problems because people would have booked accommodation.
Yeah,
all that sort of stuff.
And then refunding everyone. I mean, that also is like massive implications on cash flow for a business. I mean, this is such dead chat, but like,
No.
Ironman can't.
This is the good chat that people need.
Yeah. Ironman cannot deal with like that amount of cash flow not coming into the bank.
Hear me out. Why don't they make a blanket rule? Yeah, for the 70.3, a full Ironman I get, because you're doing them, a lot of the time the full Ironmans, you can get them in places that are, they don't have this sort of access to water, let's say. Yeah. 70.3s, when there's a lower bar of entry as well, so you've got
more manageable.
It's more manageable to train for, and it's more manageable to kind of, you know, take part in, especially if you're new to the sport triathlon like I did this summer. Yeah. Have 70.3 events in somewhere that's a closed part of water. So it's only in a lake or a river or somewhere that's not tidal or that can be affected by these acts of God. Mm. That way, you can then say, realistically, 98% of people that enter them for the first time are kind of, yeah. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know. The thing about like Iron Man though and stuff like that is like the whole variability, and like every course is different and they're all different and you can't really compare times. And it's like, you did one thing, that's great, but also someone else did something. They might have taken an hour longer than you. But like, for example, you go and do the Iron Man World Championships in Nice or Kona. If you're a 9-hour guy doing an Ironman, you might take 10 hours.
Mm.
But it's a mad achievement because the course is like way harder. The bike is crazy hard. You've got an open water swim and it's 30 degree heat.
Yeah.
Whereas if you do like the T100 I did, which was dead flat, mm-hmm. yeah, sure, I'm going to beat loads of unbelievable guys comparatively. But that's because the course was so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
So like the whole point of...
I get you.
It's more about placing and competition rather than... just an easier option.
Yeah. No, I felt really disappointed for the people that had the swim cancelled, especially when you see people that have essentially dedicated their life to learning how to swim.
However, what I would like to counter that is, imagine you have spent a year training for an Ironman, right?
Yeah.
You get in the water. It is a nightmare swim, right? There's like tides, everything. Yeah. It's crazy hard. And you miss the cutoff time.
Yeah.
And then you're disqualified. You can't swim or you can't bike or run, and you don't get your money back for that. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine how.
Yeah. The chances are that happening, you miss.
No, that's quite, it really does happen.
No, it does happen, but I imagine if it's hard for one person, it's hard for most.
Yeah, I know, but like, imagine having all those DQs because the.
But surely the cutoff time, if the course is a bit.
Nah, you
dodgy.
Look at some of the cutoff times. They're really quite aggressive.
Really?
Yeah, especially for the swim. I looked at some and went, on a hard day, I'm not sure I could do that.
Yeah.
So like, I guess, you know, what would you rather? Loads of people being cut off because they haven't done the swim in time, or it just not happening?
Yeah, I get you. I do understand the point you're making. I think it was probably more of a kick in the teeth for people that they just woke up and saw it flat as a pancake though.
Yeah.
That'd be long.
I'd be fuming. Yeah.
I can't remember what the thing was. Someone commented saying that there was a sewage leak nearby. And I was like, how have they got that information? First of all, are they just lying on TikTok and they're hoping that people read it? But yeah, let me know if there is any sort of truth to that, because that again,
we swam in the Thames though for the T100.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dread to think what was in that water. I mean, you could not see anything.
What, in T100?
Oh, it was so grim.
Yeah.
Every second I was just... And you could taste petrol.
Oh, man. Yeah,
when I got out and you was like... We looked at each other and went, that was petrol-y. That was... Yeah, that was not nice.
Oh, yeah. You weren't ill after?
No.
Fair enough, mate. Fair enough. Yeah, no, I couldn't see shit in Luxembourg.
Yeah.
It was just a brown...
And that gives me anxiety.
Yeah.
I rarely... like panic at start lines or anything like that, but not seeing the bottom. Like I when I don't see the bottom, I think I'm going to hit you by a shark.
Yeah, even in a reservoir.
Yeah, even in a reservoir where in the UK, I'm still scared of sharks.
Yeah.
And that's Jaws. Oh, that is 100% Jaws.
Oh, do you want to know a fun fact about Jaws? Okay.
You never see the shark?
Well, yeah, obviously. But like in the first film.
Yeah.
This is probably not a fun fact for people that know cinema though. So essentially Spielberg was tried for 3 years to get the animatronic right. And essentially the plan originally was to see the shark.
Mm.
I can't remember what the name of it was, but you can see the animatronic that they used. It was like 9 foot long or something. And it just always looked shit. So what Spielberg did was then the camera became the shark.
Mm.
And obviously I think it's one of the only films where they've replaced the... I always get these two words mixed up, protagonist and antagonist. Protagonist is the hero, antagonist is the villain.
The only time I've ever really heard protagonist is in, have you seen that? Oh my God, this is so bad. What's that film called? It's not Interstellar. It's the one...
a Christopher Nolan film?
Yeah, Tenet.
I've not seen that.
Oh.
It's one that everyone just says is mad confusing.
Oh, but it's so... the music as well. Oh,
yeah, I do like the Nolan films.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently it's one of the only films where the antagonist, I think it is, you don't see it and it's replaced by music.
And Spielberg said that he'd never shoot on water after that film.
Really?
Yeah, it took them 100 days more to shoot. Yeah.
I always think this might sound mental, okay? But if you're doing a film that's about like a shark attack, mm-hmm. I would just feel terrified like acting in it.
In what sense?
So, right. So say I'm in the water, okay? I'm in Cancun, mm-hmm. okay? It's a beach party. It's a boat party. Yeah. We're all having fun. It's like a classic sort of, you know, spring break. And suddenly someone gets pulled down by the ankles and it's a shark.
Yeah.
And everyone starts going screaming and they've got some special effects and blood's going everywhere in the water and uh-huh. stuff like that. And we're all screaming, like flapping about. That would terrify the shit out of me.
Yeah, I mean, that would be good because it'd be good acting, you know? Like,
Jump
scare.
Not even a jump scare, mate. I just think the idea of it, like if I was to fall in the water mm. at Universal World or whatever it is, where they've got the fake Jaws animatronic, yeah. I'd be shitting myself, even though I know it's an animatronic.
Just in case.
No, genuinely, it would terrify me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I used to think sharks were behind the wave pool grates.
No, I every body of water, I think I'm going to get eaten by a shark.
Mm. I'm also fascinated by them at the same time.
I'm a child. Like, yeah. Yeah. They're terrifying, but there's a lot more dangerous things in the water.
Mm.
Whales, terrifying, absolutely terrifying. Imagine like is it orcas?
Yeah.
Who play with their food. They like kick seals.
But orcas never kill humans.
Oh, I don't know. Don't they?
I don't think actually there's been a recorded human orca death apart from inside SeaWorld.
I don't want to get that stupid political.
No, it's all...
SeaWorld is mad.
It's fucked.
Those documentaries are so good.
Yeah, they are.
You know what I've always thought would be the worst part of being in a film? Is if you had, like, I don't know how people do sex scenes.
Oh, yeah.
Because do you know how many people are in that room when they're filming you?
Oh, mate. Yeah, no, good point. When I was younger, I used to think, imagine like getting married and having to kiss in front of your family. Do you know what I mean, though?
I still get that.
Like, I sometimes...
Showing any emotion around anyone, I'm good, thanks. I hate it. Also, especially around friends, where they're like, oi, oi. It's like, are we 12? Yes.
Oh, man. No, it was...
Explains why I'm single, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. But I always used to think that. I was just like, what? You have to, like, kiss when you get married? And it's just like, the idea of it's mental.
Just all your friends and family, yeah.
Yeah, just seeing you, like, neck on with your partner.
I have a
problem with that as well. I know it's your special day, but do not be getting tongues out of the aisle.
Oh, no, just actually generally, like any
one,
public.
1, 2, 3, max. 3 seconds max, the kiss needs to be.
Any public affection, you're walking on the streets, like around here, London Bridge, like I saw a couple tonight, like properly PDAing. And I was like,
yeah.
You know what? You're not that much in love, please. Yeah. Like, stop.
You know what? When I see the people with confidence to like have really big PDA in public, I think, why are you not a vlogger? Because I think if you've got the confidence to do that and literally just like whisper in your like your partner's ear,
yeah,
like sat on a park bench and just like kiss their neck and just do mad shit, yeah, why are you not just recording your life? Why are you not someone that's going around saying, hey guys, welcome back to the video? I still, mate, I've been vlogging now on my YouTube channel like with the camera in public since Feb.
Mm.
I'm still shit scared doing it in public.
I also find, though, are they compensating for something?
What? The PDA people?
Yeah, maybe their relationship isn't so good and they want to show it to the public.
No, I don't think that. I think they just genuinely, like,
do not care.
Probably love each other so much. Like,
do you think?
I think so.
Maybe.
I just also think sometimes, like, you get two people that are so well matched on that front.
Mm.
Neither Izzy and I are PDA people at all.
But you know your point about like being scared to not scared, but like you don't like filming in public.
Yeah.
My thing is now, it's like my paycheck. So
yeah, I've started looking.
It's like the guys who do the charity thing on the street.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure they don't get embarrassed going up to you. You're probably more embarrassed being like, oh, sorry, no, than they are.
Yeah.
Because that's their job. Like they have to do it. And like, a telesalesman is not going to get embarrassed by phoning or telling. Yeah. Well, who, like, if you're like a...
Yeah.
Sales agent, you have to make the calls.
You know,
I just have to look like a tit online, so I have to go around with my stupid camera and be like, "Hey, welcome to Hugo's shit day in the life." You know, like,
you know what they say is embarrassment is an unexplored emotion.
I think that's what my sister says to her 3-year-old, but
yeah, no, but it's true. Yeah. It's true. Like if you're being about like being, I it was that, I love these videos. I think it's like the subway where
the
he
guy
like,
with the ticket.
Yeah. The microphone is the sub Metro yeah. card. So good.
So he, good. Shout out to that guy.
And he was like, if you cringe yourself out or like people cringed out at you, it's just like, there's like happiness in the other side of that cringe.
Yeah.
But I think about it. Yeah. If I'm confident to the camera in public, the chances are I'm documenting a moment that is authentic and I am expressionate about. So therefore it's going to be good content that people actually care about because it might be something that's just happened and it will add value to the viewer. Okay. Mm. That video then does well. It then helps me grow and adds value to the viewer and stuff like that. So essentially me cringing myself out is like there's reward on the other side of that cringe.
Yeah.
It's
just like posting on social media.
Yeah.
It is incredibly embarrassing. Like when I quit my job, oh, like my manager was like, oh, so what are you doing? Like, where are you going? Which company are you going to? And I was like, well,
the company of Hugo from
Rice Repeat Limited.
Is that what it is on Company's House?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
And he was looked at me. He was like, what do you mean social media? And I was like, oh, I've got like an Instagram page. I mean, I work with mid 50s guys. Then they might have Instagram, but I'm not appearing on their feed, you know?
Yeah.
So they were like, oh, that's interesting. That's cool. Like,
yeah.
Do you make any money from it? And I was like, oh yeah, it's fine. Like it's a bit. And they were like, well, do you have any sponsors? And I was like, yeah, like Tilda Rice. And like my manager looked at me and was like, you've been living a double life, Hugo. What are you talking about? This is so weird.
That's so funny, man.
And they just couldn't like compute me being like, oh, I'm just going to go and, essentially, to them, they're like, he's literally doing nothing. He'd rather do nothing than work here. Yeah. Like, have we really messed this up? Like, what are we doing? Like, how bad have we made this guy's experience that he'd rather have no job? And I'm like, no, it's a good opportunity.
But it's also like, there's no better opportunity than working for yourself. That's a fact.
Yeah.
That's...
Also, what I've realized is like, I love all those things where it's like, what you're adding to the world is shareholder value. And, when I'm working for like a company and there's not really a bonus structure or anything.
Yeah.
And there's no incentive to work. Like I'm like, where's the incentive? Whereas now having to actually earn your own paycheck.
Yeah. Just like the
idea.
It
makes me work so much harder. I don't think it's got anything to do with like, I'm more entrepreneurial or hustler.
I don't like that as well.
Like that's so long. Like it's not about that. It's just, I prefer, because also with our jobs now, the risk is so high. Like I'm going to have months where you might not make any money, or some months you make loads. Whereas some people just do not like, don't want that. Do not want that. Also, if you have like a family and all that, like risk, you can't afford not to earn any money in a month. Whereas like, look at me, I live at home. I like have no overheads.
There's
I'm
like
so
no
lucky.
Best time for you to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what people get frustrated about influencers is they just don't acknowledge their privilege.
Mm.
Like I fully admit this is like once in a lifetime opportunity for me.
Yeah.
You know, I've worked hard to build something, but also I've admit like it's lucky. Like, because there is a bit of luck to it.
Mate, look at me. Like I wouldn't have started making content if I wasn't for the fellas, like being given that opportunity to be an on-cam producer to like grow my following to a level where I'm like, oh, actually, I like making content and maybe content's a thing for me.
Hmm.
Like everyone needs that sliding doors moment that is going to trigger something, you know?
Also, I think it's from a film, but like this like scene where the guy's like, you actually have, it has to be so bad that you make an action. Like if it's actually just like, okay, if your current situation is okay and like you're earning good money, you know, you're in an okay relationship, everything's like okay, you live in a nice place, like you have a kind of good week, it's fine, like life is fine, it's actually harder to like change and like really push than if you're just in the just depths of like absolute terror.
Yeah,
that's when you're like, okay, I need to do something. And not that I was in that point, but like I just thought, I really don't enjoy what I do, I have nothing to lose by trying something different.
Mm-hmm.
And if this doesn't work in 6 months, I'm in such a fortunate position where I've got a security blanket of living at home.
Yeah.
I can then just be like, okay, it didn't work. I'll put some bullshit on my CV being like, I was a content creator. I grew a channel or something. and then I will try and find another job.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, so that's, actually, but most people I don't think can do that. And so like, that's, yeah, and way, that's why I've got to be like, oh, I'm so happy I can do that. And because I can do that, I think it'd be like insulting for people who actually want to do something like that for me not to try and try that.
You're bang on. You're bang on, because like you're the one lucky enough to, well, you've built it for yourself, but you're in the lucky position, yeah, where you can take that chance, mm, and someone else would absolutely just die to be in the position you're in. Yeah. So it's like, might as well do it. But like going back to like if all fails sorts of thing, I look at it as like, for me, let's say I suddenly wake up tomorrow, I've lost 20K followers and no more brand deals coming for the next 3 months. I'm like, oh, things are looking a bit dodgy here. I'll be like, right, cool. I'll just go and produce a podcast because that's my trade.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I know the skills. You know, I'm in a fortunate position where my CV is essentially online. So I can say I did this, this, and this.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully this is that future. And like, that's not a possibility, but you always got to be realistic and go, well, if all fails, I've got that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But like with content, you're leaving your job the week after Berlin, mm-hmm, or before Berlin.
I had the sickest 3 months of my life. Honestly, I'm so gassed.
Go on, talk about the next 3 months then.
I'm then the week, again, not actually announced any of this, but you know, doesn't really matter.
As long as you're right with that.
Yeah, yeah, it's cool. Fine. People aren't that interested in me, I don't think. It's like a big reveal.
breaking.
Leaked, yeah.
It's going to be on runner alerts, mate.
So week after Berlin, on the Friday, I fly out to Jordan.
Cool.
I'm doing Ultra X Jordan.
Amazing.
Which is a 5-day multi-stage ultra in, mm-hmm, the desert. No phone signal, nothing. Just at peace with nature, which is actually going to be so good for me because I've been so chronically online, yeah, for the last 6 months. Like, yeah, my phone, my screen time is just out of this world. So actually, yeah, touching grass or desert will be probably quite nice.
Touching sand.
Yeah, touching sand. And then staying out there for a week to travel with my brother.
Oh, wicked.
Which will be nice. Coming back.
Poor bloke.
Yeah. Well, he's got worse chat than me, to be fair.
I mean, I need to meet your brother, man.
He's it's niche. It'd be good for, he's good for a pint. He really is. After a couple of drinks, the man is much funnier than I am. Much funnier. And so we're doing that for a week and then get back mid-October. Then I fly to Austin for 2 weeks. Two and a half weeks. Yeah, yeah.
Go on, what are you doing in Austin?
I'm doing the BPN Ultra Survive the Night, which I've realized isn't really surviving the night for me. It's a kind of late night run.
Is it?
Yeah. It starts at 6 p.m.
Okay.
It's, and you've got 50 miles.
And you've got a complete 50 miles. I shit you not, there's a huge chance you win that.
I'm backing.
You're
it.
Going for the win.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I'm 100% going for the win.
Mate, I'm being deadly serious, yeah, here. There is an alternate universe. Actually, it's not even alternate universe. It's a realistic universe that in 2 months' time, we are sat here. You've won that race and you're a BPN athlete.
Literally, it is my dream. Now, this is so cringe. This is so cringe.
If you got a notepad.
No.
Sit back a bit for the camera.
Oh, sorry. I DM'd Nick Bear when I was slightly pissed.
I think I remember seeing this in your close friends.
Yeah. I DM'd him and I went, and it's the worst part is he actually read it.
Did he?
Yeah. And I said, I'll read the exact thing I said. I said, did I know? I'm manifesting and typing it here so I can screenshot this down the line. I'm going to be a BPN athlete one day. gonna win you guys over. Best brand on earth. Peace.
Mate, that's fucking wicked.
I don't know if I win it, would I get a sponsorship? I don't know, but that is the dream. I'm obsessed with what he's done.
Have you watched the latest documentary, the Surrender thing about the Last Man Standing?
The Last Man Standing, I've not watched it yet.
Oh, mate, watch it.
Yeah.
The last half an hour of that, I genuinely think is the best bit of fitness content ever produced.
Oh, really?
Documentary-wise, I think it's amazing, mate. Actually, King of Moab was pretty special, but the, yeah.
I'll have to watch that. You know, I might watch that on Saturday before Berlin.
Yeah, get yourself hyped.
Those guys are, because also it's, this is not, I would never back myself.
Is it a trail loop, by the way?
I was talking to Johnny about it. It's not that bad.
Okay.
I can wear carbon.
He's doing it, isn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. The thing is, like, I would never back myself to win in the Last Man Standing.
No.
That's a different, but this is 50 miles.
There's an end point.
There's an end point, and like I can send it pretty hard. Like I've done 50 miles a couple of times now. It's like hard, but that is definitely doable for me. And like there are so many less variables than a last man standing. Yeah. You know, like, I'm not good when I'm tired, like sleep deprived. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I could maybe do 36 hours. Mm-hmm. Those guys were going for like 48, 52.
Two, and
like,
two and a half
you look
days.
At them and they're not like that. The guy who won it. Or
it was Joint, yeah.
Yeah, Joint. The German guy. I can't
Kim.
Remember his name.
Kim, he's so elite. I love
what
him.
What a great guy. But he's a 2:45 marathoner. Obviously a great time. But that's not... And it's a different sport. It literally is a different sport. And so like, I'd never back myself to win one of those. That's crazy.
I've entered the lottery for next year.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously I won't get into it.
But. I was going to. But then I thought, the chances of me getting it twice?
Yeah.
Impossible.
Was it a lottery, this one?
Yeah.
I think probably less people entered to this one, though.
And I entered it and thinking, I'll never get it. I didn't even watch it. Someone DM'd me being like, Hugo, your name's just been read out. And I went, no, it hasn't. And they were like, yeah, it has.
Did
and
Nick Bear read your name?
No, it's not him, which is such a heartbreak. I would have recorded that. But yeah, I'm doing that. It should be fun.
Yeah, you'll smash it, man.
Then I've got a wedding in Singapore.
Cool.
So going out to Singapore.
Posh.
Then I've got, it's going to be like, posh. Yeah, it's going to be so good.
Yeah.
And then I might do like a week in Bali. I've never been, I've always wanted to go. I know, but tick box.
Leaves his job, goes to Bali on holiday.
Finds myself, content creator, nomad.
Yeah.
And then get back, Valencia Marathon, then T100 Qatar, hopefully.
Oh yeah, because you qualified, didn't you?
And that's then Christmas. Sick. And then I want to go out to Australia for the Ashes.
Oh, mate,
yeah.
I want to go
so
bad. Ugh. But the problem is, it's like...
Why do we go? What, like...
Yeah, but there's not many tests like after New Year.
Is there not?
Wait, is it third or second test, the Melbourne one? The MCG Boxing Day one?
Probably second.
I think it's second, isn't it? So third test will be between... Let's work it out.
Sydney's always the last one.
No.
Yeah.
Sydney's first, though.
No, Sydney's... Perth is first.
Is that Gabba?
Yeah. No, Gabba's Adelaide.
Oh, right. Maybe that's the last one then.
No, it's always the... Because it's always the breast cancer pink day.
Okay.
For McGrath's wife, I think it was.
Right. So you've got Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, Perth, and where else? Brisbane.
Yeah, Brisbane, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So to end this pod, we've been waffling for an hour and a half, bro.
I've got Berlin on Sunday.
Like, yeah.
I've never, this is what I'm saying. I'll be more casual.
Yeah.
You would never have caught me dead a year ago doing this.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Talk to me
all
about
the weekend.
Final thing. I want to cap it here. Talk to me about the race plan. What's the goal? What's the objective? What shoes are you wearing? Talk me through it all.
Again, I'm awful at this, but I was booked stuff so late. I'm flying in 7 a.m. on Saturday morning.
Okay.
Staying in a 12-man dorm room hostel.
Yep.
So prep is perfect.
Yep.
I'm wearing, sports shoes hooked me up with Adidas.
Cool.
So I'm wearing the sickest outfit. I'm wearing full black Adidas kit.
Sick.
With a pair of fluoro pink Adi Pro 4s.
All the UVU boys were in those.
They are so good. And then I've just treated myself to a pair of Prada running glasses.
You've lost your mind.
I know.
You can tell you live at home.
I know.
You would not be making stupid purchases like
that
if you paid rent.
So stupid. I tried the one in Selfridges. Obviously, I was in this awful sentence. Yeah. And looked
Let's
at them.
Just, by the way, clip what he said at the start of the pod.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you say?
I said you're like the least posh person.
Yeah. I'm just going to, I think Prada sunglasses might rattle a few people. And then go out. I just want a PB.
What pace are you trying to hold?
3:19s. If I get a 2, I got 2:19:58 last time. 2:19:57, job done. Just so I can say I PB'd this year.
Yeah.
I'll see how I feel at halfway. Probably going to take Precision Fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, rice beforehand.
Yeah.
I don't mind a Morton solid bar. They're nice.
Oh, they're lovely.
They
mate.
Are.
Really good. Like flapjacks.
Lovely.
Yeah,
so I might have one of those an hour before.
Yeah.
On course. And then I haven't drunk in like 5 weeks. So all I want is a pint.
Yeah. We'll have a few beers after.
And just, you know what? Like, if it doesn't go well.
Well, I'll be positioned on the course, mate. I'll get some vids of you because I'll be watching Izzy. So
that's actually really useful now.
Yeah. I can get some.
I'll do that classic influencer DL, like Instagram story before me.
It's a G drive.
Hey guys. No shades of Ben is running, but hey guys.
No. It's Theo does it all the time. Yeah. Actually, I don't know if Theo's done it. Loads of creators do it.
Here's my Dropbox. Can you just pop some free content in? Yeah. And I won't ever shout you out. Thank you. But I appreciate it.
Well, look, thanks so much for coming on, Hugo. If you've liked this format, just, you know, little catch up pods, then let me know because I enjoyed this.
I think a 3 would be great. We need
Gabby.
Yeah,
it's just screaming him, isn't it?
It's
screaming his, you know, sort of dulcet tones.
Yeah. Just telling me to shut up. And
but you know what's hilarious? When I had Gabriel on, he mentioned you and I was like, I don't know who that is. Now look.
Yeah. Also, the last
I've seen him more than you. I've seen you more than him.
Last thing I will say is so funny. When we were in Kenya, he was like, Hugo, please just like stop posting so much. It's just not going to work. And they messaged me the other day being like, yeah, your strategy somehow worked, mate. I have no idea how. And then he commented on my last video being like, I'm not going to lie. It's more impressive how much content you pump out. It's more impressive than your marathon time. And I was like, fair. We have different styles.
Mate, you know what they say? The world's never been more ready to throw enough shit at the wall, something will stick.
Something will stick.
Yeah.
There's many ways to skin a cat. And on that note...
Look, you know where to find Hugo. Thanks very much for watching and listening. Catch you next Thursday. You know what? You've come off the back of two very value driven interviews. You had Marshall and then you had Peds, and now it's just you sat here.
It's the same as last time when Johnny talked about really like, big stuff and then I came on, chatted absolute waffle.
Yeah.
You've had all these great guys. Also, they are so much more valuable on social media than I am.
Yeah.
I really did up my game.
But it's great because I won't put you in the title. I'll just put you in the thumbnail and then we'll... Yeah, I'll just basically block you out and I'm joking.
Sounds great. That'll do better.
Not even a funny joke, Cal. Just being rude.
Just cut him out.
Get rid of him. But look, thanks so much. And catch you next week.